Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. Here we are in tape. This will be airing, I think, the Tuesday, the 11th of June, second week of June. And
yes, this is my son Joshua's birthday.
Oh, cool.
So a little shout out to him. Happy birthday, Josh. My firstborn turns 26 today.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
How's their new house doing?
Oh, it's fantastic. It's so fun having them just up the street, and they're doing a great job decorating it, and they're having fun. They're really having a good time with it. Yeah, it's good.
Did the building of it turn out to be what they wanted and they felt good
yes,
about it?
Yes, I could not say enough good things about their builder. They've done a really good job, and even they have still and are still having, hopefully by the time this airs, it will be finished. They did have some issues with their well. The iron content was significantly higher than it should be. Yeah. That happens in this area.
Yeah.
And so they've had to redig a second well, and they're testing that to see if this did it and they can put the right system on it. But it was beyond what any system could take care of, even the first one. So, you know, that has been a little bit of a difficulty navigating, but the builder has been phenomenal in staying on top of it and trying to get the right people in to get the job done. And couldn't say enough good things about it, but they will be happy when their water runs as clear as it should.
So you mean they're saying they need to have nice, clean water? And
indeed.
I mean, gosh, how privileged are they, right? Yeah, that's great. I know it's been, they had a house built really an amazing time.
It was, so they started that process, I guess, maybe last May, the whole beginning process, signing the contracts and stuff. And then they were able to move in the beginning of February.
Oh man.
And they, like I said, just did a fantastic job with it. It's been really fun to watch. And I was just talking to them the other day, as soon as we can get it in their schedules, I would love for them to come back on as guests and share, because they haven't shared the whole story on here of how God led them to even build that house, and then how he supernaturally provided every step of the way. And so there's some really good God stories to be shared on that I don't want to spill the beans and take away their thunder. I want them to be able to share it all firsthand.
Yeah,
so we'll
yeah.
have to have them on again soon.
Yeah, yeah. Ask them if they can, and we'll schedule a time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that'd be great. Well, we're talking about Christ clutter in the calendar, and it's a time where we, you know, go into this next season here of the beginning of summer, where there's an opportunity to revisit. And by the way, Kathy, you said something last week or yesterday, I guess it would be, that was kind of important, and that is that you purposely, you know, do three times a year to revisit this. Lynn and I do it at least three times, sometimes four, to look at what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the things we're involved in, they do grow.
Right.
The activities grow all by themselves just by what we're involved in, not let alone making sure we don't start something else,
right?
To be part of something else, which is a burden and a heaviness and easy to do. So, but the things we're involved in, it's okay. Where are we with our margin, with our freedom, with our thought life, busyness? Are we tired? Is there something that we need to reshuffle? Which mm-hmm. you know, either could be getting out of something altogether, or redoing how we're doing what we're doing.
Right. And even I'll insert in that, not even that it's always just that we're tired or whatever, but are you finding you're neglecting the things that are your most important calling and assignment? You know, am I neglecting time with Dan? Are you neglecting time with Linda? processing together? Are you neglecting your time in the Word because you're too busy? You know, these are easy things to see. We back burner what is often the very most important relationship we have, right?
Yep.
And so that's also an indicator that we're too busy. Not sometimes if you're a high capacity person, you may not feel the tiredness, but what you will feel is the neglect of what's most important.
Right. Yeah. And the Lord is constantly inviting us to that. I was just dealing with a couple yesterday, and the wife is involved in a wonderful kind of a activity for high schoolers that she's, you know, being kind of a lead of. And she's been having God speak to her is the season may be over. And she doesn't fully understand that because she likes what she's doing. But
right.
The season may be over. What does that mean? So she's got to process that. And then we were just talking about it. And I just said, you know, has anything, you know, been communicated to you in any way about this? And she said, mm-hmm. My daughter-in-law and I were just having, you know, kind of a coffee together, and she just made a random statement. And she said, for me, this daughter-in-law saying, for me, I would really find it better for me if you weren't doing that leading of that activity.
Hmm.
And that's all she said.
Yeah.
And now she didn't pick up on that, but she did. It's like, oh, yeah, she said that. I said, well, do you recognize that's God speaking to you? That you're supposed to go pursue that more with, and then you would say to her, you know, you made a comment the other day. Could you tell me a little bit more about that? What's your desire here? And what I think what you're going to find out is she wants more of your time. And I said, it could be God reshuffling you. By the way, you got grandkids coming. You've got all kinds of stuff coming. And God may be reorienting you to a different place where it's going to be sweet and beautiful, but you got to have the energy to it. You can't do what you're doing and do that. And pay attention because, you know, God will speak to it. So this is kind of how it goes is God's always, and what you said is what I'd like everybody to consider is if you haven't ever do it, now's the time to start that. But recognize you got to keep doing it.
Yes.
All the time. And don't think, well, I did it and it worked. Okay, fine. But you're back to being busy and you got to reshuffle it. So one thing, as we said, you know, seek ye first the kingdom. He said that there is a truth that I need you to receive as you begin this process. So let's go to Genesis 2, 1 to 3. Genesis 2, sure. 1 to 3.
Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made.
Yeah. So, well, first of all, per se, you know, do we think that God gets tired? You know, no. No. Is this something that, well, I had to do it because, you know, no. It's that he set a truth about this, that he wants his creation to follow his truth, his biblical spiritual truth about something that's really important. And he said, I created it, you know, in 6 days. And on the seventh day, what did he do?
He rested.
He rested. In other words, he stopped working. Purposely, you know, did he need to? No.
Right.
But he did it as a principle of life in that it's going to be a day of basically being different than the other days. And what do you do in the other days? Well, he set up work as an activity, task. That's part of life. He said, yeah, it's going to be important, and I want you to do it. But I want you to get used to taking a break. And it's every 7 days. The seventh day is to be a day of rest.
Right.
And the day of rest is stop doing what you don't do the other days. You know, do it a different way. And by the way, he builds on this in other places in Scripture, but there's what's called the Shemitah, which is every seventh year is to be a year of rest, Sabbath rest. There's the year of Jubilee every 50 years. There's a complete reorienting of everything. And everybody's supposed to take a break together and then start over the next year. So the idea of margin and rest is built in the very fabric of God's life, because he said, that's what I ordained. And by the way, and read verse three again, what did he do with the Sabbath?
It says he blessed the seventh day and sanctified it.
Yeah. I'm putting, actually, this is a place of blessing. And sanctifying means I'm separating it as a separate holy day to be apart and to spend more time with me and to rest from the work. And that will be a conduit for blessing.
Right.
So if you're looking at reorienting life, he said one of the first things to start with is your Sundays. What are you doing on your Sundays?
Right.
Let me help you learn this first. Stop working on your Sunday. And let's do something different. And you'll start to see something. And it's really cool. I'm going to bless you.
Right.
And it's like, oh, you mean if I don't do any work, you actually bless my work? Yes. Let me show you that, because then you'll let me reorient everything.
Right.
But let's start. Right. Let's start with that. You can trust me, and I want you to learn not to work on Sunday, and do a different thing. Okay. Let's go to Isaiah 58, 13 to 14. He makes another statement about this.
If you turn your foot, or if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken.
Yeah. So he says, if you turn from you deciding what you typically do, which is, and I can just say, because of the busyness of life and the way that work goes now, is that, well, we have email and we have projects and we have cell phones. And guess what? People contact you to do work.
Right.
And you have a tendency to do work because, well, I got to get stuff done for next week, so I'm going to do it today. And God says that if you break from that and you follow me and make it honorable to me, I'm going to bless you and show you the beauty of life if you have a heart to do that on the Sabbath. So he said, don't waste the opportunity I'm giving you with the Sabbath concept of take a break and learn to do it well. Now, by the way, I would say that, including Linda and I, you know, are we great at this yet? No, we're not. And and God keeps reminding us, and Linda particularly will say, "Rich, we gotta do more breaking here on Sunday."
Right, right.
And so we've been actually practicing this better with not getting engaged on the computer, not getting engaged on cell phones. What we've been doing is, you know, enjoying the worship, and then taking the rest of the day to just spend some time together, doing things that are without interference from work and computers and emails and stuff and projects and, you know, Rich, don't get on the computer, and take a break with it.
Yeah. Which, by the way, there's some preparation that has to happen for that, right?
Yeah.
I think about the Israelites, you know, when they were collecting the manna, they had to collect a double portion on Saturday so that Sunday they were able to rest, or I guess they were Friday, Saturday, however that works.
Yeah.
Sabbath, but so that on Sabbath, they could actually rest. Right. And so I think that is something that we need, like the intentionality, as we want to learn to embrace the gift of Sabbath. Truly, it is such a gift to have a break from the pattern. There may be some things, like I know Dan and I are still learning this too, and have been really trying to do a better job practicing it, but it takes preparation. So, you know, if we're going to start, we start our Sabbath by lighting a candle on Saturday night after dinner, and then I will have meal prepped for everything on Sunday so that I'm not actually, you know, it's all paper plates on Sunday, and I'm heating things up in the microwave. I'm not cooking and all of that sort of thing, because for me, that is a break. For some people, actually taking the time to enjoy cooking a meal together would be Sabbath rest for them, because they don't get to do that normally. For me, it's a break in the rhythm to do. So part of the preparation is taking, you know, making more freedom in the day for something else. So it's interesting. I think it does take some intentionality. And even when you look at work things, intentionality, I know a good friend of ours in our small group, as we've been really working on practicing Sabbath, he had to tell his boss, because not because we told him to, but because as he was asking God, what is it that's bleeding into my Sabbath? It was work.
Yeah.
And so he told his boss, I will be turning my phone off for this number of hours on that day. So if you need me, you can reach me then or then, but know that this is happening. And it's been really fun for him to see God honor that.
Yeah.
You know, so there's some interesting things, but it does take, I think if you're not intentional, because the world is so intentional and filling things up for you, you'll let the Sabbath go right by, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's to do things that are recreational, refreshing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's obviously centered around spending time with God in fellowship, going to church, being part of a fellowship, being worshipful. And there's not a... It's not even to say you set your own rules, I can or I cannot do something, but rather it's, is it refreshing and how does it work? Like, for example, you know, my grandson and now the whole family has been very excited and active in Formula One racing, mm-hmm. Which is fun to be part of, and we follow it, and he's an avid, you know, fan of it. Well, they race on Sundays. Mm-hmm. What we typically do is we can tape it. We go to church, worship. We'll have lunch together, and then we'll gather and watch the race.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a, you know, it's not a a bad thing, because we're together having refreshment and enjoy.
Right.
So it's not about you can't watch a football game or you can't watch something like that. It would be if that becomes more important.
Yeah.
Then you spending time with God or spending time with each other, now you got a problem.
Right. And even just asking God to show you what actually refreshes your soul.
Right.
Because I think sometimes we think some things are refreshing to us and the reality is they're not. And so we need his help to even show us, okay, what is it that's sucking the life out of me? What do I need to shut down to really have rest and refreshment that day? What do I need to embrace to have rest and refreshment that day? Right.
Yeah. And God will show you, you know, what that looks like, even out of good intention. Like, one of the things that Linda and I do with our leaders is that we, gather, periodically just to help them, sort out God's will, and just be a fellow walker with them into it and confirming. And so, you know, we're going on this trip to France. So, I put out a schedule of, hey, we could talk in. I included Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of people said, well, that would work for me, so let's do Sunday. And so I went through the schedule with Linda. She said, wait a minute. What'd you do there?
Where's our Sabbath?
You know, why'd you do there? And like, well, you know, it was convenient for everybody, and I thought it'd be easy for us. And she said, well, I think that's going to distract. It's a good thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to do it, but it's going to be a distraction from how we are to take a break. And I really think what you did there is enough. God, I'd like you to reconsider that. And so, again, when you're walking with God and you get a challenge, it's not like, oh, no, yeah, but. It's like, oh.
Like, oh, wait.
maybe I should do that. So I said, okay, Father, could you reveal that and show me? And, you know, and I'm happy to do it. So we had this Sunday, and I did these two sessions. They were good, but God showed me clearly,
mm-hmm.
no, son, not on the Sabbath.
Right.
Don't worry. They'll be happy to do it at a different time.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to do it. And by the way, help them learn it too. Mm-hmm. Like, oh yeah, okay. So it was reinforced. And God said the Sabbath is to be a completely different day,
mm-hmm.
of breaking from the stuff that you do.
Right.
And get refreshed and learn that margin starts there,
mm-hmm.
With Sunday and the Sabbath. And reorient it about what I would have you do. And he said, my purpose is to make it blessed,
mm-hmm.
lively, refreshing, and a break so that your right. mind and your soul literally doesn't get interactive with the things you're doing the other 6 days.
Right, right.
And take a break. So I would just urge everybody to consider that as a beginning point is, well, mm-hmm. let's look at the Sabbath. How are you spending the Sabbath? And learn to do it differently, and don't let. I love what that guy said. Is I'm just not going to have my phone on, and even let people do it or not look at it and not spend any time on it. Don't get on the computer. So, Heavenly Father, we just pray that since you set the principle of it, the truth of it, to take a break, you're going to bless that day. You're going to bless mm-hmm. the time. You ask us not to do our own the desire, but to delight in doing what you would have us mm-hmm. do, and be refreshed and have. Enjoyment that day and have a break and have difference and not get engaged in work and things. And so we just pray in the name of Jesus that we would start there and have discussions with our spouse and with our inner circle. How are we to reorient our Sabbath as a beginning point? And we thank you and we praise you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for sharing, Rich. I could talk all day about Sabbath.
Yeah.
There's so many neat things that God is still teaching us,
yes.
I feel like, on it. As we try to re-embrace the gift of Sabbath, right? But if you have questions, send them in to us at questions@abideministry.com. We'd love to talk about them, and we definitely look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep, we'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.